Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. This is George Wilder, Jr. of the George Wilder, Jr. Show. We're now on the air broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you for being out there. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being with me today. It's beautiful out. It's beautiful outside of my window, at least. I'm in Chicago. I'm looking straight out of my window onto the, you know, the walkway, and people are going. It was raining earlier. It was raining and raining, but it wasn't a washout. Thank God it wasn't that. I mean, whether people were saying that it was going to be a washout, but it wasn't a washout. And that's great. That's wonderful. The sun is here. The sun is even shining much brighter than it was before. Before I even came on the air, it's really out there now. It's beautiful. It's lovely. I think my son is he's on a field trip of his school. He was afraid he wasn't going to go because of what he thought the weather was going to be so bad that they couldn't go. But I don't know if they went or not, but I'm hoping that he had a great time, a wonderful time. And this is Friday, May 29th, preferably the last weekend of May, and June is going to start. Good June. Great June. June 2015. That's wonderful. And so far, the weather's been great. It's been wonderful. But I'm hearing that things are going to turn south pretty soon. It's going to drop like a rock, as they would say. Starting tomorrow is going to be pretty nippy-dippy. It's going to drop, from what I'm hearing, about 25 to 30 degrees is going to drop. And if it drops like that, it's going to be pretty cold. It's going to be not just jacket weather. It's going to be coat weather. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be on the air. You just don't know. Sometimes you have things you have to take care of. And sometimes that can be a little stressful. So I hope that's not happening to you. And sometimes the radio, being on the radio, is really, really does help. And that is so great. So let's hope the weather keeps being beautiful, at least in this neck of the woods. But I know Texas and Oklahoma are not faring so well. So we have to pray for those people, because my understanding is that it's still flooding. The rain is still pounding those states. And we just have to send out our prayers to those people and hope for the best. Just hope for the best. If I can help someone, well, let me know how I can help, you know, help some of those people out over there. Because that's what I think we should do. I think we should all just help one another. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. If we have the means to help, help. You know, just don't just sit back and watch things happen. You know, lend a hand, you know. Put some action behind words. And that's why I try to tell my audience, if you're going to do something good, do it. Don't just talk about it. Go out there and actually put some effort behind it to get it done. Because there's too many people who sit around and just talk. The talk is good. The talk is great. The talk is caring. But, you know, we have to put some muscle behind our words. And that goes for me, too. So, you know, I don't sit here and just talk, even though that's my job is to talk. But I have to put action behind my words. I don't say anything or tell anybody to do something that I would not do myself, you know. So that's that. So welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. And it's great. As you can tell, I feel a little bit better today than I felt last week. And somehow you got to feel good. You got to be positive. You got to have that positive outlook, because you will not get anywhere without being positive, a positive person. You know, I exercise, eat right. Those are things that help you to feel positive. You know, you don't want to be grumpy, grouchy, and mean. You know, I've known people like that. But you don't really want to be that way. You want to be positive. You want to be, you know, gives you a positive outlook. You know, you have a pleasant outlook on life and all that kind of thing. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I do have a guest today, but let me say this one more time about the weather. I really, really hope that the weather is. I guess I'm talking about Oklahoma and Texas. I really do hope that something, that the rain stops, the flooding stops, and the people stop dying. And sometimes you have to stop and talk about things like that before you can talk about any other thing that's going on. Because I have up on the screen things in the news, and, you know, that it happens. It just happens. Okay, that's enough about the weather. Let's get on with the show. I always seem to start the show off with the weather because, I mean, it's just something just naturally I do. And I've heard other talk show hosts do the same thing. But believe me, I'm not mirroring them or copying them. This is coming from my heart. This is what I do. And there are some people around the web that are copying this show, and I really appreciate that. That makes me feel good. It makes me feel as though I'm doing something right. Okay, and this is my 83rd episode of Internet Radio Show on Black Talk Radio, in which I call the Wilder Network, you know, because I do everything, so I have the right to call it the Wilder Network. If it fails, you have nobody to blame but me, okay? So let's get started. We've already started. Let's get started. Let's talk about some things in the news until the guests gets here until she calls in. And there was something in the news yesterday about a dog walker abusing a small, defenseless dog. Did you see that video? That was really something. I mean, the guy was in the elevator with the dog. I don't know whether he was going up or going down, but he was in the elevator. The video shows that he was in the elevator with the dog. And there was another person on the elevator. But as soon as that other person got off the elevator, this guy was on the elevator alone with the dog. And the dog, if you saw the dog was just a puppy, a small dog. And he was defenseless. As soon as the other guy exited the elevator and the door closed and the guy and the dog were still inside of the elevator, the guy walked over and stepped on the dog's toes as if he was trying to smash his toes. And you can clearly see the little dog trying to get away from the guy. He was trying to understand, what are you doing? What are you doing? If he could only talk. And then after the guy stepped on the dog's paw, he went up to the small dog and kicked him. Seemed like he just kicked the dog in the ribs. You know, if dogs have ribs, I don't know. I'm not a dog owner. But he kicked the dog on the side of his body, and he really kicked really hard. And that was something. I mean, and they're still talking about it. They're still talking about this. And dog owners are saying, wow. And this guy, I don't know his name. Somehow I forgot his name. I don't really know. I don't really care. But anyway, he's been, they arrested him. And he has a court date. And they're charging him with cruelty to animals. And it was just awesome seeing that video. This guy just, I mean, he got on the news saying that this guy who kicked the dog went to the news, went to the cameras and the microphones, and told everybody that he was despicable, that he was a despicable creature that done something to a defenseless dog. He was right about that. He is despicable. He was totally right about that. But still in all, I guess he felt if he, you know, disparages himself for that kind of action, that we were all going to forgive him. That's crazy. That's crazy. Because you know, you don't know how long this guy has been a dog walker. He was a dog walker. You don't know how long he was a dog walker. And a lot of the people who hired him, he had his own business called something or other. But he had a dog walking business that is now defunct, which it should be. But a lot of the people who hired him to walk their dogs, they're suspicious now that he'd do the same thing to their dog. But the thing is, he's calling himself despicable. I guess he's saying that he deserves everything he gets for abusing a defenseless little puppy. But take this. Listen to this. If there had not been a video of this guy abusing this puppy dog in an elevator, we would have never known anything about it. It would have been not broadcast, and he would have done it again. The fact is that he got caught. He was caught doing something. He didn't apologize for it. He just called himself despicable. Maybe he has apologized by now, but I haven't heard it so far. But even if he did apologize, let's say he gave a heartfelt apology about the abuse that he put on that little puppy who was defenseless, who he was in charge of walking for a client that was paying him to walk a dog. The problem here is he was caught red-handed. If he had not been caught, if it wasn't for the video, that video personally going viral, we would have never known anything about it, and this guy would have lived to abuse animals again. I was reading something on the Huffington Post where a national the NFL football team, the NFL, they just let a guy go for abusing an animal. He kicked the animal, and the animal, the defenseless dog, died. So they fired him from the team. Yeah. I mean, this is what I discovered today that was reported. So that's two incidents that I know of so far that's in the media. But think about the abuse of animals that is not in the media. You can't see it. You know, it's there. It's happening all the time. Animals, defenseless animals, are being abused and misused by knucklehead owners. You know, and we can't see it to stop it. We can't see it to, lambaste these guys. Police can't see it to lock these guys up. But it's a lot of animal abuse going on in this country. But if we can save one or two animals from their abusers, that's a good thing. You know, that is a good thing. And this guy who abused this dog in the elevator, I mean, abused him. You know, I mean, he should get, I don't know, he should get what's coming to him. He's got I think he has a court appearance tomorrow morning with the judge. And, I mean, he should get 20 years as far as I'm concerned, you know, but I know that's not going to happen, you know, because he may have enough money to bail himself out, you know, whatever, you know. But I do know one thing. His dog walking business is over. From my understanding, he did not have a license to run that business. In that case, it was illegal. So he can be fined for that. And noteworthy, it is totally deserved. You know? So that was just cruel. I mean, I love animals. I really do. And I hate to see anybody abuse an animal. Because as a young boy growing up, I seen it all the time. Adults abusing animals. Kids abusing animals. And poor defenseless animals are just... You ever heard a dog cry? Have you ever heard a defenseless dog cry? It's just so heartbreaking. It's so painful. And it seems like you feel their pain when they're hurting. You know, so it is really, really, really wrong to do that. I think it is really, really wrong. And I am really kind of emotional about it. You know, I really am, especially the small, defenseless, cute little cuddly little puppies. it's just wrong. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. If you want to call in, chime in on that, my number is 347-857-1762. And this is the George Wilder Jr. Show. And we're talking about things in the news right now. Let's see what else we can go with. We talked about the we had a this is great. This is wonderful. I mean, when I say great and wonderful, I'm thinking it's wonderful. This is something great to talk about. The firing of the coach, the Bulls coach, Thibodeau. Yeah, we had the Bulls coach was fired. Yeah, and there is, I don't know how I'm going to say this. Now, how am I going to say this? He was fired. I mean, if you listen to the general manager, if you listen to the owners, if you listen to all the people who claim to be his boss, they're saying that he did not communicate well with them. He did not talk to them. He did not share things with them. There was a communication and relationship breakdown, and they just had to get rid of him. I don't think they liked him from the start. I don't know. But Jerry Reinsdorf is the owner of the Bulls, and he said some of those things. John Paxson, I think he's a general manager or something, he was on TV talking, giving fans a reason to why they fired this guy. So we got an earful of why they fired Thibodeau, a great coach who took the Bulls to the playoffs at least five times in his career. From my understanding, they're saying that this coach was second only to Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson was the coach who coached Michael Jordan and the Bulls back in the 90s when the Bulls were just winning back-to-back titles. So Thibodeau came in second to him. So you say to yourself, why would they fire a winning coach, a coach that took the Bulls to far places than any other coach had in recent history? Why would they get rid of a good coach like that? Some of the players disagreed with the firing. A lot of the national sportscasters and pundits disagreed with the firing of the coach. I disagree with it. I mean, if anytime you take a team to the championship, at least to the playoffs, five times, you're doing a good job. Of course, you would want them to win a championship, of course. But the playoffs is just like, you know, hey, you did a good job. Not a great job, but you did a good job. Because if you did a great job, you would have taken them to the championship. But my point here is they fired him because he would not kiss their butts. That's why they fired him. If you listen to all the excuses, statements that they're making about the coach, the reason why they're firing, if you put all of this in a bowl and stirred it all up, you would come out, hey, wow, they fired him because he wouldn't kiss their asses. And that's what happened. And that happens in a lot of places, in a lot of workplaces. In order for you to get anywhere, it doesn't matter how good you are, it's about how much butt you can kiss. You know, that's what it's all about. And he wasn't a butt kisser, and that's why they fired him. In my estimation, of course, if you contact some of these people and say, well, George, you're wrong. Well, then if I'm wrong, then tell me something else. I'm gathering information from some of these press conferences that the management is giving. And I put two and two together. I don't come up with four. I come up with they fired him because he wasn't a butt kisser. But he was successful. He just didn't want to kiss their butts. And I don't blame him. I don't understand why they fired him. They could have kept him on. This is not a sports show, but I'm just something in the news. They could have kept him on and let him keep winning. Instead, they just could not stand it because he was not communicating with them. But he was communicating with his team. He was hired to communicate with his team. He was hired to win games, and that's what he done. But like I said before, he did not take them to the playoffs. I mean, to the championship, but he took them to the playoffs. Okay, if you disagree with that, if you want to chime in on that, call me or just sit back and listen. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's all in the news. And if you want to check these things out and you don't know, you can always Google it because everything I say is, you know, it's true. A lot of things I say, I just give my own opinion of what I think about it. And I think it stinks. I think it stinks that they fired this guy because he wouldn't kiss their butts. But that's what happens. If you want to go up to the top, you got to kiss some butts to get there. And Thibodeau did not. So they fired him because of that. But you know what? He's a good coach. He's got all of these accolades for winning. So there, it won't be any time for some other team to pick him up. You know, they're going to be, you know, knocking down doors to pick this guy up. But the Bulls management didn't like him. So what they did was try to wait till all the other teams have their coaches in place so they wouldn't have to come after the coach that the Bulls management fired, Thibodeau. That's evil and mean, I think. I think that's evil and mean. You know, but that's my take on it, okay? I think they fired him because he wouldn't kiss their butt. I mean, that's how I haven't listened to any other sports shows to find out what they thought or what they think or their take on it. All I know is what I've heard, and I put two and two together, mash it all around, and I come up with he did not kiss any butt, so they decide to fire him. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for being out there. Thank you for listening. Oh, it's so beautiful. I feel good. I feel beautiful. I'm glad you're there. I love all of you. Thank you for listening. Make sure you listen to the show. If you can't listen, download it, podcast it. I'm on Facebook, Broadcast Radio. Follow me. You miss the show. You miss a lot. And let me tell you this. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Come on the show and talk about it. That's all you got to do, because this is the talk of our time. I'm going to take a break right here. I should be right back. All right. Stay with me. Bye-bye. Bye. Right back. Is that funny? Okay, here we go. Bang. Hit the wrong button.
Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you. Something else I want to talk about here. Okay, identity theft is on the rise. They're coming after our medical records. What else is new, right? They're coming after our medical records. I mean, it seems like we just cannot get away from scammers, identity thieves. I mean, it's all over. I mean, you got drones flying all around, and they are sapping information. It's crazy. You're just not safe. You're just not safe anymore because, I mean, what do they want with my medical records? Well, they want your name, your address, your social security number. They want everything. You know, and identity things. And only thing you can do is keep yourself safe. And they're always telling us every day to keep ourselves safe. We try to keep ourselves safe. We want to keep ourselves safe, our identity safe. But it just so much is happening. And because every now and then I got to go call a bank and see if my money's still there. Because I don't know what's happening, you know. So I have to keep a tab on it because I know at any minute, it could disappear. Some scammer overseas, some identity thief from the Middle East, you know, draining out your bank account. So we have to watch that. We have to watch ourselves and stay safe in every way, in every shape and form, you know. And that's how it goes. Okay, I have a caller. Let's see who this is. Yeah. Hi, the George Wilder Jr. Show. You're on.
Hi, George. This is Christy Porter calling.
Hi, Christy. I figured I said, that's Christy. Okay. So how is the weather there?
Rainy, actually, yes.
Yeah, it was raining here, but the sun came back out. And it's beautiful now.
Nope, still raining here.
Okay. All right, I'm going to read your bio right now. I'm going to try to introduce you to the audience, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All righty. Always a reader, Christy Porter never thought much about writing until she entered a writing contest sponsored by the Detroit Free Press. Her nightmare vacation story, worst vacation ever, went on to be published in a travel anthology that sold over 1 million copies worldwide. Wow! This was followed by numerous articles published in local magazines and newspapers. As her love of writing grew, she added adult fiction and short humor pieces to her repertoire. But writing isn't all Christy does. A former preschool teacher, she won the Governor's Award for her work with young children and continue to be dedicated to the education of young children everywhere. She also enjoys bicycling, video games, photography, Facebook, and spending time with family. She lives in Michigan. Welcome to the show, Christy Porter.
Thank you, George. Thank you very much.
You know, it's one thing I want to say about reading your bio. I love video games, too. I think they're great.
Video games are awesome.
I do. You know, I use them as mind games to help, they're like mind exercises for me. I do, brain exercises, if I could say it.
No, they help you relax.
But for me, we're two different people, so, Okay, tell us something about yourself and the book.
My book is called Stranger Danger, How to Talk to Kids About Strangers.
Mm-hmm.
It's aimed at the parents of little kids. Most Stranger Danger books are for kids, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, or maybe even older. And because I taught preschool, I realized that there was nothing out there for little guys, for little kids. So I saw a need, and I wrote a book specifically for that age group.
Okay,
really,
that's great. No,
go ahead.
No, you got something else you want to say? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's not really a book for children, though. It's a book for parents. It's a how-to book for parents to teach their children about strangers.
But, I think that it's a really, really good book because I think it's something parents should know. Because child abduction, kidnapping, the taking of small children happen all the time. And I think the parents should educate the children a little bit better and to avoid some of this. You know, because personally, I had something like that happen to me when I was young. So that's what Stranger Danger, and that's book and my personal experience with almost being abducted or kidnapped, the book brought light on that for me. Parents, like you say, it's for parents, and that's what you're doing. You're enlightening parents on Stranger Danger.
Exactly. And statistically, kids are actually more likely to be kidnapped or stolen by another parent, such as in a divorce type situation.
Yeah.
But those aren't the strangers that kids are afraid of. Those aren't the strangers that parents are afraid of. Everybody's afraid of the stranger that they don't know. So that is the focus of this book. Even though they're more statistically likely to be taken by a parent or a family member, the book focuses on the true stranger danger type of kidnapping.
So basically what you're saying is not everybody is a stranger who might abduct or kidnap a child or take a child.
Exactly.
It could be a relative.
More likely to be taken by a parent in a divorce type situation, where the non-custodial parent will take the child and run off with them. But that's not the stranger that kids fear, and that's not the stranger that the parents fear. And so I didn't cover that topic in this book. I covered the topics of the true stranger, the someone that the child doesn't know, and how the child and the
okay.
parent can deal with that focus.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so did you feel obligated to write this book to try to protect children?
I did. I've spent a lot of time working with little kids, and we actually did a stranger test early in my career to kind of test to see what would happen, and I was astonished at the results of that test, and I have the results of that in my book, and I'll read part of that later, and that's what prompted me to write this book. I couldn't believe how easily children just walked off with someone that they didn't know.
That is so true. A child will walk off with someone they don't know in a minute. The stranger might have a piece of candy that might try to get to lure the child towards them or something like that. But the kinds of kids that you're talking about, the small children, I don't think there should ever be a place where there is not a parent or a guardian.
I agree. But, you know, the stranger test that we did, the parents were there. And even when the parents were there, the child just walked off without even looking back. They didn't even check with the parent. It was 5 seconds with the parent right there, and the child could have been gone. It was a very scary result.
You know what? You're right, because I've seen so many parents just let the kids just wander around, and I've seen parents who just are disengaged, and their child is running across the street, you know, where there's cars are coming, they could get hit, and the parents, you know, I say, wow, you know, so, you know, and that does happen sometimes because the child gets away from the parent, and I don't know, it's just, but the book is great, the book is wonderful. Do you think parents should read this book? What would they get from it if they read it?
I think every parent should read this book. I think this book should be required reading, not just because I wrote it, but because it has very important information in it. And I've been very happy with the fact that I've gotten some feedback from other teachers and preschool-type teachers who said, wow, this book is something we really need.
Yeah, it is, and that's why I wanted to interview you. I wanted you on the show to get it out so people can know about it and find out about it, because there's so many people out there who need to be educated on this type of thing, and you're just out there to try to help and to, you know, save a child's life or to keep them from being abducted. You know what I like? I like when I went to your Amazon webpage, and you have a video up there. That's great. Was that your idea?
Yes, I do. I have a book trailer there.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun making, and I've gotten a lot of great feedback on that. Thank you very much.
It was a lot of fun watching it. It's music and just basically images, but the images, they tell a story. So, and that was great. That was wonderful. Wow. Okay. You've written extensively. You've got a lot of stuff up there, a lot of material up there on Amazon that I saw. What made you choose this particular book to talk about over some of the others? With just
The other stuff is it's humor. It's lighthearted. It's light. It's funny. I wrote the other stuff, you know, to make people laugh, and it's fun, and it's great, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
This is important. This book is something people really need to know about. This is important information. The other stuff's just for fun. No, this is not fiction. None of my work is fiction.
No,
it's
I didn't say fiction. I said nonfiction.
Right. This is nonfiction. All of my work is nonfiction. But, you know, this is a little heavier topic. This is an important topic for parents. And my other writing is fun. It's fun stuff. It's humor.
you got to do fun stuff, because once you do all the heavy stuff, the most serious stuff, then you need to do some fun stuff to get your head back on straight.
Exactly. That's
so do
exactly
I.
What I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have an excerpt which you would like to share?
I do. I have two short little excerpts if we have time. I'll start with
yes,
the first
you have
one.
Time.
Okay. The first one is called The Story Behind This Book. And it's exactly that. It details the little stranger test that we did that prompted me to write this story for this book.
Okay.
All right. It says, early in my teaching career, while putting together a unit about child safety for my class, I came across a statistic that stated, in the majority of small child stranger kidnapping cases, the child is simply taken by the hand and led quietly away. I wasn't sure that I agreed with that statistic, though, and I decided to put it to the test. So with the parents' permission, I arranged to conduct a simple stranger test at the annual springtime family picnic. Held at a popular local playground, 24 children ages 2 to 8 and their parents attended. While the assistant teachers supervised the children, I called the parents aside and explained how this stranger test would work. An adult unknown to the children would simply walk up to them, take their hand, and lead them away toward the parking lot. If the child asked where they were going, the stranger would simply tell them that there was some candy in the car and the child could have some if they wanted it. When they reached the car, which was in full view of the playground and the parents, the stranger would simply tell the child that they'd run out of candy, show them an empty candy bag, and then return the child to the playground. If at any time the child resisted or became frightened, the stranger would immediately let go and move away. The parents were to stay on the sidelines and observe and agreed not to punish their child if indeed they did walk away with one of the strangers, as this was to be a teachable moment, one that children, parents, and teachers would all discuss together at the end of the day. While many of the parents commented they thought their child would never walk away with someone they didn't know, all agreed to allow their child to participate. So I called in my stranger volunteers, one young adult male and one middle-aged female. Both were teachers in another program and unknown to either the children or their parents. Edge of the playground and watched with astonishment as one by one, almost half of the children simply walked away with one of the strangers. Over the course of an afternoon, 11 children accompanied a stranger to the car with no resistance, not even a glance back over their shoulder. They simply held hands and walked away for nothing more than the promise of candy. Of the remaining children, only one became visibly frightened, and that child was immediately returned to their parent. The others simply pulled their hand away and ran off to play with their friends. Only four of them reported the stranger to a teacher or a parent. This experiment really opened my eyes about how young children view strangers and why stranger danger programs often fail. Since that day, 25 years ago, I've made it my mission to help teach young kids to stay safe, and I've used the methods in this book with hundreds of kids ages 3 to 7, and I'm happy to report that many of my earliest students, who are now adults, tell me that they still remember the lessons they learned about strangers and want to know how to use those same methods to teach their children how to stay safe. So it is for those first students, now parents, that I've put this book together. And that's the end of the first excerpt.
Okay.
It kind of gives you a little bit of a background about why I wrote this particular book.
Oh, it sounds great. It sounds wonderful. I was mesmerized. I was listening. I'm saying, wow. Because maybe I could have used some of that when I was a kid. Because, you know, I was a victim of stranger danger as a child. And if you have time, I can tell you the story.
Sure.
Yeah, I was a victim. I guess that's no surprise to many people. But, you know, I mean, like you say, kids grow up. And they've come back and they talk to you about it. And they want to know how you can help them to tell their children about it, but I was a victim of it because when I was, but I was a little bit older than 7 years old. I think I was about 13 or 14. And every day I would walk to school by myself, you know, my book bag, and I was walked to school. We lived in Chicago, the city here, and I walked to school. And, you know, and I would walk down the street, you know, to school. before I get to school, it was always this car would pull up beside me. And he would like, I mean, every step that I took, the car would take, roll right along with me on the side. And he would, I'd look over there and I would see him, and he would just beckon me towards the car. He's, come on, come on, come on, come on. But you know what? I had enough sense not to get in the car. But it happened almost every day with this same guy, as if he was waiting for me to walk out the house every morning to walk to school and try to get me into his car. But somehow I must have been a smart kid because I didn't go. I just said, no, 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 no. However, it happened a second time. But this time, this was a different guy at a different time. I think it was around the same age. This guy, he was in a truck. He was in a truck like a UPS truck or a FedEx truck where you only have one seat on the truck. You know, so he came around in the neighborhood. I think I was playing basketball with the kids. And I was started to walk away. And he, you know, I saw the guy. He was beckoning me on the truck like the other guy. Somehow, this time I went. The only reason why I went was because I thought he was going to give me a job. I thought he would say, hey, wow, come work with me. Because he was on a truck that usually, you know, it's the kind of truck that you know, you help people out on, you know. So I right. thought he was going to give me a job. I thought he was going to give me a job, so I got on board. I didn't have a place to sit down. There was only one seat on the truck, and it was the driver's side seat of the truck. So I had to stand up, okay? So as I was standing up, he was driving. We were moving on down the street. He beckoned me to sit on his lap. So I didn't think anything wrong with it. I really didn't. So I went and sat on his lap. And I was just, you know, enjoying the sight, the scenery. Suddenly, he takes his hand and goes down my pants. So I jumped up and jump off the truck. I got off the truck. I was more angry and mad and upset that I had let myself be taken like that, you know. And get this, he came back around the next day and tried to get me to get on board the truck again, and I vehemently said no because I was angry, I was upset, and I never told anybody about it. You're the first person I think I've ever said anything about this to. I never told my parents. Maybe that was wrong. What do you think? Not telling anybody.
That's definitely wrong. You definitely should have told somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely should have told
Why?
Somebody. And I know 13, 14, that's a tough age
yeah.
to tell anybody that. But, you know, that's one of the things that we talk about in my book is that you got to tell.
Yeah, I didn't say anything because I didn't think anybody cared. So I didn't say anything. But the thing about it, it never happened again. And I knew right then that it was wrong. You know, so actually, when I saw your book, it kind of made me remember those two incidents. And I said, I got to get her on the show because I need to talk about this and get this out. I never told anybody. And you're right. I probably should have told someone. But I didn't. I don't know. I was a kid. I was 13, 14. I don't know. And basically, when a kid is that at that age, basically, a lot of them, you know, things happening, they don't tell anybody. But if it had happened again, if I had to relive that again, I would probably tell somebody, call the police or something, you know. So that's my experience.
Well, see, now that you know better, now you can help teach kids to tell. You can
right,
share
exactly.
your experience and say, hey, I should have told somebody because you don't know that man might have driven the truck down the street and found an even younger child who wouldn't have jumped off the truck.
So do you think that bad parenting is a part of stranger danger where kids just run off from the parent and just be lured away from the parent?
No, I don't think it's
or do you think
parenting. I think that, you know, parents need to teach their children about stranger danger. Sometimes parents are are reluctant to teach their children or to talk about strangers because they don't want to scare them, so they put it off until it's too late. We start talking about strangers in preschool when they're 3 and 4 years old, and some parents haven't had the stranger talk until they're 10 or 12, and they should have it earlier because kids are taken at younger and younger ages these days. So I don't think it's bad parenting. I think they just, you know, they don't want to scare their kids, so they just don't say anything because they don't know what to say.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let me see. There might be a lot of books out on the market, the same as yours. What makes your book stand out from those books?
Most of the Stranger Danger books out on the market are aimed at an older age group. They're aimed at the 8 to 12-year-old group. My book is the only book I have been able to find, and I've researched extensively, that targets the 3 to 7-year-old group. My book gives very specific how to, step by step, what to say, what to do with your child type of information for parents, and shows them how to teach their child how to be wary and how to learn about strangers in a fun way without scaring them to death. You know, it's a fun way to learn about strangers rather than scaring them.
Okay, you have a lot of 4 and 5-star reviews on your book and a lot of your books. I was just wondering, how would you deal with a negative review?
Everybody gets negative reviews sometimes, and that's okay because not everybody likes everything. You know, I read books that I don't like. That's okay.
But a lot of negative reviews are totally, some are unfair. You might have a few people going around the internet giving negative reviews because that's what they do. Because, you know, I mean, somebody can give you a 1 or 2-star review on a certain book, and that same book will get a 5-star review from someone else.
That's true. That does happen. You know, there are some people that they do. They go around and they give low reviews just because that's what they do. As an author, you just have to let it roll. And if it's very specifically, violently, totally against you, you can contact Amazon and they'll take a look at it and they'll remove it if it's very specifically anti-you type of review. But for the most part, you just roll with it. You know, I mean,
yeah, just roll with it.
You know, I like I said, I read a lot of books. And, you know, I don't like every book I read. You know, if I don't like it, I don't leave a review. And, you know, just that's just me. I don't like everything
I am.
So I don't expect people to like everything they read either. If they don't like it, that's okay with me. There's enough people that do.
That's the way I am. I mean, if I read a book and I think it's horrible or it's the grammar or the sentence structure, I don't give it a review either. Basically, what I would do, I would contact the author and say, take another look at your manuscript, because I don't want to give you a negative review. I want to give you a positive review.
Exactly.
You know, I don't even give out negative reviews because I have reviewed books, but I don't give out because I don't like to give out negative reviews. But there's people, some people on the internet, they love it because that's what they are. But for the most part, reviews reflect the book, and most people do give positive reviews for things that they like to read.
Exactly.
Okay. Do you ever get writer's block?
Yes and no. There are days when I sit down to write and it just isn't happening, but I don't necessarily call it writer's block. I just go, well, it ain't happening today, and get up and go do something else, or maybe I work on a different project. Try again on another day. I guess there's never been a time where it's been, you know, weeks on end type of thing where I can't write.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to have the opposite problem, whereas I tend to avoid sitting my butt in the chair to write.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Hey, it sounds good to me, you know. What projects are you working on now? Are you working on anything that we should know about?
I'm currently finishing up my next book, which is How to Tell When You're Really Old, Funny Happens When Kids Define Old Age. It's my next one. I'm finishing up the final edits on it. I hope to have it out by the end of June. And then I'm going to take a little break and see what happens from there. I've got a couple more.
You know, you've got a book up there called something like, I think it's a few pages, 11 pages or something, and it's called Working My Ass Off or something like that.
Yeah, one
I
of
can't.
My short stories.
Is that?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to get that because I want to read that. The title just pops out at you, you know. Hey, it does. It just, whoa, I got to read that one.
Yeah, that was one of my short stories that I wrote about a failed attempt to lose some weight. So it was one of my humor stories.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, to make people laugh. People love to laugh, believe me. And it just jumped out at me. Folks, if you're out there and you're listening, check this book out. Check everything Christy Porter has done out. She's a great writer. She's a wonderful person. And where can we find your stuff? Tell people where you can find it.
All of my stuff is available through Amazon.com. It's also available for Nook through Barnes & Noble. And all of my books are also available in print at any major bookstore. The short stories are not in print. Those are just in e-books. But those can be, you know, Barnes & Noble or Amazon.
Okay, great. Do you have any advice for aspiring writers?
Never give up. Keep writing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I never started out to be a writer. I entered a contest because I had a bad vacation, and that bad vacation got me started on writing, and it just sort of went from there. So you never know.
So, yeah, it kind of started for me like that, too. I mean, I really love writing. I think it's just awesome. I'm working on some stuff now that I'm going to have coming out for 2016. And I'm like you. Keep going. Keep doing it. Don't get rid of the negative voices around you, because there are plenty. And keep writing. That's what I tell people. Keep writing. But it's so disappointing when you see young people give up on something that they love doing, and you got to kind of keep them motivated, you know, to keep doing it, you know.
Yep.
Okay, is there anything else you never give up? Is there anything else you would like to say to your readers and the people listening to this show about your book or your books?
I guess I really can't think of anything. I would like to thank you for having me on your show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much. It has been awesome. I knew that I would enjoy doing this with you. And like I tell other people, I don't interview people on this show. We have conversations. I think there's a difference. What do you think?
I agree. This has been a very, very fun conversation. It hasn't been an interview, so to speak. It's been awesome. We've had a lot of fun.
It's been great. Thank you so much. And I've had fun. Thank you so much. And thank you for being on the show, and lots of luck with the book. I think it's great. And like I told you, I'm going to download that other book you've written.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Take care, all right? Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, that was author Christy Porter and her book, Stranger Danger. It's a great book. It's a great read. It's out there for every parent to enjoy, learn something. If you don't know anything, it's okay, because we're all here to help. We're here to help one another. That's all it is. That's all this show is about. Author helping author. writers helping those out there who seeking knowledge. And Stranger Danger, all we're trying to do is to keep kids safe. You want to keep the children safe. And that's all. That's what it's all about. Okay, that's Chrissy Porter. She was a great interview. I was getting ready to say interview. It's a great conversation. Wonderful conversation. If you're not able to listen now, listen later. Check out her work. Check out all of her work. She's a great writer. If you love to read, you're an avid reader, then you cannot at all dismiss her book, Stranger Danger, especially if you have young children, grandchildren, or you know someone with young children. It's a great read. It's a wonderful read. And she's very, very funny. And she's very, very humorous. So go check her book out. I mean, it's on Amazon, okay? All right, we're going to take a break right here. I should be right back. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. Thank you for everything. I love you all. Be right back. Stay where you are. Hey, this is George Wilder Jr., your radio host here. If you are an avid reader or you just love to read in general, check out my Amazon page at www.amazon.com/author/GWilder or pull up the Amazon website and check out all the material that I have produced. Or you can go to Amazon in general and just type my name into the space bar above and all of my material should materialize right in front of your eyes. Wow. Some of the stuff that you can download and check out, Ain't That a Groove? It's action, romance, Back in the Groove, action, romance, Echoes of My Sin, my autobiography, I Got Stung, and a lot of others that you can check out too. I do essays, novels, short stories, and I think I do a good job at them. And you can always go and check those things out and give me some feedback. You know, hook me up with some feedback. I'm always looking for feedback on anything that I do, even on the radio show. Give me feedback on the radio show. What do you think about the radio show? Okay, I got to get back to the radio show. Speaking of radio show, I got to get back. All right. Are you back?
Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
We got the Blackhawks tonight. I mean, I'm in Chicago, so I'm going to talk about the Chicago Blackhawks for a second here. It's do or die for them tonight. I think they're a great team. I think they're a wonderful team. They're a young team of really tough guys. And they're in the fight of their life. Well, maybe not the fight of their life, but if they want to go further than where they are now, they're going to have to win tonight. It's either win or go home for the Blackhawks. So we're going to be pulling for them. So I thought I wanted to mention that because, you know, I'm in the city of Chicago. This is a sports town. What can I say? Even though I'm not a sports host, a sports radio host, because I know jack about sports, but I know just a little to talk about the Blackhawks, the Cubs, the White Sox, and stuff like that. You know, I can always tell people if they're winning or losing. That's about it. I'm not a pundit or anything, but anybody should know. It doesn't take a rocket science to know that if they lose tonight, their season is over. And these young guys, they don't want to lose, so they're gonna work their butts off, and I believe they're gonna pull this off. I believe they're gonna do it. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. Google, you know, listen to this show. Okay, podcast this show. If you don't have time to listen, always podcast this show. This is a great show. It's a wonderful show. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your fans about the show. Tell everybody to follow me. Tell everybody to listen. It's always a wonderful show here. You miss a show, you miss a lot. And I want to thank my guest, Christy Porter. I mean, she was wonderful. She was a wonderful guest. She's out, you know, trying to get the word out about her book. And it's a great book, Stranger Danger. I mean, I try to have the best on this show because I think this show deserves it, and I think my audience and my listeners deserve the best, okay? If you are an avid reader, you love reading, you love getting knowledgeable information, pick up this book, okay? It's a serious book, but the author, she is funny, and she does write funny stuff. She's got funny material also on Amazon. And like I said before, one of the titles that she's done, Pop Out at Me, shaking my, working my ass off or something like that. And it just popped out at me. But I didn't interview her or hold a conversation on that book. It was Stranger Danger because it was close to my heart. And if you're out there, you heard about the two incidents that I were in when I was about 13 or 14. The first time I talked about it, this is the first time I told Christy Porter, any author, or anyone about it. And like she said, I probably should have told someone. However, I did not. So I can't really, you know, say that it's my fault that I didn't tell anybody or just that I didn't think about it. Think about telling anybody about those things. And maybe next time. But I do think that all parents, every parent, should keep a close eye on their children. Children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, keep on your children, your young children, small children, teenagers, 13 and 14 and 15 years old, keep an eye on them because the bad guys are out here. They're out to abduct, to kidnap, to abuse and misuse your child. Know where your child is. If you have a child that's 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, never let that child out alone. Always be with the child. Sometimes a child is abducted and kidnapped, and the parent is present right there. I don't understand that, but you have to be engaged. If you're not engaged, all kind of things are going to happen negatively. And I suggest this book to anyone because I love children. I really do. I love children. I don't want to see them hurt, abused, kidnapped, abducted, whatever you want to call it. Because this kind of thing happens a child can be abducted in the park, walking on the street. You know, it happens anywhere. And the guys are out here. I hear about it almost every night on the news. Some child being kidnapped or some child being lured into some stranger's car. You know, I think if that child had been educated by that parent, something like that would have never happened. It would have never happened. I'm going to read some from her book. All right, let me see if I can find something that I can share with you guys. Okay. Parents tell their kids not to talk to strangers. Parents tell their kids not to talk to strangers. Or parents should tell their kids not to talk to strangers. A lot of parents don't even think about telling their kids not to talk to strangers. But somehow I knew not to talk to strangers. For some reason, I didn't talk to them. They read stories to their children about not talking to strangers. That's great because there's plenty of books out here at the library where parents can go and get and sit down with their children in their laps or on the other side of the table and just talk to their kids about not approaching strangers, especially when strangers are trying to lure them with candy. They may even practice with their child what to do if approached by a stranger, but most parents never explain to their kids exactly who or what a stranger actually is. When you sit down for dinner tonight, ask your child what a stranger looks like. Their answer will probably be some version of a bad guy. Ask them what a bad guy looks like, and you honestly likely hear from your child, quote, "I don't know, maybe a monster or a guy with a scary face," unquote. Some kids may have an idea in their heads about what a stranger looks like. Quite often manifests itself into something they fear. Be monsters, bad guys, or even wild animals. Some kids may answer with, "I don't know, and that looks okay to me," because the truth is, young children often don't understand that a stranger is a regular person. Just someone they don't know. Think about the storybooks your parents read to you growing up. Anytime there was a stranger mentioned, it was always depicted as a monster, or animal. Remember the big bad wolf, or occasionally a bad guy, complete with dark clothes and a mask? Never were ordinary people depicted as strangers. Why? It was thought that being truthful about strangers would only frighten young children and make them fearful of everyone they met. Fast forward 20 years, and guess what? Today's storybooks are only slightly better. It is any wonder that kids have no clue about real strangers, and I believe that. Some kids don't have any clue about strangers because sometimes their parents do not inform them about strangers. The parents need educating themselves so they can educate their children. But sometimes if the parents are not educated about, you know, stranger danger, the kids are, you know, in trouble with, I just don't know. We have to tell children how to stay safe. And I have to disagree with it. I do think some parents are bad parents when they let their kids, if they're not around their kids, and their kids wind up being abducted by a stranger, especially small children. I do think parents are to blame sometimes if their kids go awry. Because if that kid would have never been kidnapped or lured into that car, if that parent had been a parent and wondering and looking out for that child's safety. I mean, when you're walking down the street, you have to hold a child's hand. If you don't hold a child's hand, that child may dart out in front of traffic. And I've seen that too many times where a parent was not holding a child's hand and that parent and that child dodged out in traffic and got hit by a car and was hit by a car. That's the same thing with stranger danger. You know, a parent let go of the hand of their child and that child run to a stranger and the stranger, you know, throws the child into the car and takes off. I do think that it has something to do with parents. Not all parents are bad parents. Not all parents are what I'm saying they are. But you got that few. It's a few out there that may just, you know, neglect that child to the point where a child may feel a stranger probably be better company. And that's not right. That's not right. So we want to keep the children safe. In an attempt to keep your children safe from strangers, parents always must warn their child about what not to do. Very, very few parents teach their children what they can do if they find themselves in a dangerous situation. I believe that. I don't think many parents teach their kids what to do if they find themselves in a dangerous situation, and I think that's something that parents ought to be teaching their children. If you find yourself in a bad guy's car, what are you going to do as a child? You're going to try and you're going to scream your head off. You're going to try and break the window out and escape. You're going to try and escape. But you don't want to escape while the car is in traffic. Wait till it slows down. Yell your head off. Bangs. You know, let somebody know. Who knows? The police might be driving by. And I believe that you have to teach your child what to do in a dangerous situation. This is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I'm talking about stranger danger. I'm talking about saving the children and informing and educating parents to inform and educate their children about how not to be abducted. Because it's happening today. It's happening right now. There's bad guys driving all over the city, walking all over the city, trying to abduct someone. It doesn't have to be a child. It could be a teenager. It could be a person that's 21 or over, but we're talking about children here. But basically, it's the same thing for children or for adults. Because we're all, most everybody, a few of us, are being trying to be beckoned into somebody's car where they're going to take us off and abuse us or something. So we have to watch ourselves, especially the babies. Therein lays the second and fundamental reason why many stranger danger programs for youth fail. Young children don't know what. Wow, it drops off right there. But anyway, I get the drift of the book, and I get to, and I've been trying to download a sample of it, but somehow I haven't been able to get it. But anyway, this is a great book, and she was a great guest, and I'm still talking about her. And I hope you guys out there, you're still listening. I hope you're still hanging around, because there's always more to this show than just the guest. There's always the host, which is me. And I'm going to keep talking about stranger danger because I think it's an important issue. I applaud author Christy Porter for writing this book. I think it's needed. I think it's needed. And I think the whole world should know about this book, not just for buying it to make her money, but to save our babies, to save our children from strangers out here. I mean, we got to do another thing. We got to save kids from being shot by other kids. You know, to me, that's still stranger danger. I mean, when you can't even walk out of your apartment, your home, without bullets flying everywhere. And I talk about this all the time, put down the guns. But, you know, sooner or later, somebody's going to hear me and somebody's going to adhere to what I'm trying to advocate. Like I said, I think it's a great book. And I think that usually when an author is on the show, I don't go on and talk about her until the show is over. I usually, you know, once an author has gone off the show, I usually start on another subject or another topic or something. But I'm still with Christy here because this is a great book. There's many books out there like this, but I think she hit this on the nail. I think she hit it on the nail. I think she's hit this on the head. And she's great. She's wonderful. And I'm blessed for meeting someone like this because someone who cares about the little people, you know. And I've written a book called They Are Our Children. I wish people would go to Amazon and download that book and just, and I offer so much information, so much input, so much experience in that book. It would make your head swim. And I'm talking straight from my heart. I may be a little blunt in the book. I may be, there are some things in the book you're going to read that you're probably not going to agree with me on, but you can at least give me credit for having the courage to write it. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Stranger danger. It's great. I mean, I'm looking at kids right now outside of my window, outside of the studio that I'm broadcasting in, and I'm saying to myself, great, wonderful. You have to, kids are like anything else. You have to train them. You got to train them. You know, just like you know, you train a coworker, but not too much like you train a coworker like you would at a job or anything. But you have to train them. You have to house train them. You have to potty train them. You have to train them when you go out. And you have to inform them. Maybe I shouldn't say train. Maybe I should say educate about everything that's going on to keep them safe. And that's what you want to do. You want to keep children safe. They are, I know you've heard this before, but I'm going to say it again. They are our future. I'm saying that again. I'm repeating it because it is true. They are our future. We want to save our babies. Save our babies. And that's what's going to happen. I'm going to take a break right here, see if I can cue up one of these audio tracks. I guess I'll try this one. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Alrighty, I got a little bit of Chicago news for you. Governor Rauner, we have a governor, Bruce Rauner, and his turnaround agenda has been thrown back in his face. You know, people have gotten up and, they've gotten up and started fighting back, you know, for all the budget cuts that he's trying to do. They're fighting back. His turnaround agenda has dropped in front of his face. A big goose egg. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, go back in the podcast, broadcast, or archive some earlier shows and you'll know what I'm talking about. Because I've been talking about Bruce Rauner forever. I'm almost sick of talking about him because he's a despicable guy. Because listen to this. House Democrats on Thursday asked Governor Rauner to appear before. Okay, let me start it again. This is in Springfield, Illinois. And this is hot off the presses. House Democrats on Thursday asked Governor Bruce Rauner to appear before a House committee to explain why he, the governor, arranged to have his $250,000 a year education CSAR paid out of the money meant for the frailest and the most vulnerable populations in the state. Who follows a Chicago Sun-Times story which revealed that Rauner's office penned a $250,000 annual contract with the governor's hand-picked education secretary, Beth Purvis, to be paid out of the Department of Human Services budget. The contract was signed 3 weeks ago before the governor's office authorized $26 million in cuts to that same agency. Basically, all of this is saying, take from the poor and give to the rich. That's exactly. I just had to mention this before the show is over. The guy has literally taken from the most vulnerable of our society out of the cuts, the funding, and giving it to his people. And now he has to come up in front of a committee. A House committee of representatives, the Illinois House of Representatives, to answer for that. Why are you going to take money from that group of people who need it a lot more to give it to someone else in your administration? That's what it's all about. And that's what he does. Rauner is a mean, uncaring, heartless governor who's taking from the poor and giving to the rich. That's exactly what this article is saying. And that's awful. That's awful. That's showing us what type of person he is. This is why the General Assembly in Illinois does not want to work with him. I don't believe they like each other, actually. Bruce Rauner has that mentality, it's my way or the highway. He coming in all gung-ho tough. And you don't do that. He's trying to get stuff passed without actually putting forth a bill, from what I'm hearing. Okay? Maybe somebody has taught him how to put a bill together, because he surely didn't know how to do that, because they was complaining about that. You know, but this guy, he wants to cut. And he wants to take all of that funding that he cuts to give it to someone else, to pay someone else, so they can do some more cutting. Cut the funding on more. Education, you name it. They want to cut. This guy is mean and nasty. And he shouldn't be in Illinois. He's running around the state saying Chicago and the state is totally, you know. I mean, he's really giving the state a bad name. We're not that bad. The state is not off as bad as he's saying it is. He's talking about Illinois like Illinois is the worst damn state in the United States. And we don't like that. He's cutting. He's so hard. He's heartless. You know, and now he's taking... This is not the first time he's done it. He's hired... Some guy he just hired to run the food stamp program. The only thing this guy's in charge of is making cuts. And he's taking money from other agencies that help people to pay this guy's salary to cut food stamps. He complained that Illinois is in such financial shape, is in such financial bad shape financially, if I can say it. He's just making it worse. He's not helping the process any by taking money from vulnerable agencies that help people and giving it to his employees to hurt people even more. I don't know what to say. Only thing I can say is that the Democrats control the legislature. The Democrats control the legislature in Illinois, and they're putting a stop to this, and that's a good thing. And now he's really pissed off. And the other Republicans in the House is pissed off. Who cares? You know, who really cares? They're just mad because they... You know, the legislature did not pass any of that garbage he was trying to get through, because all it was going to do is hurt people, and that's all he's about. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. I just heard her say 60 seconds. I got to go. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll be here tomorrow, same time. You know, tomorrow is Saturday, so I'll be here tomorrow if nothing happens. And thanks for listening. Thanks for being there. Thanks for calling. Thank you. Love you. Let me play some outgoing music here. Okay. Let's see if we can... what about this? Here we go. Yeah, that'll be good. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.